We continue tonight with Fundamentals of Ultras, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We said some things to introduce us, to give us a general background of why we have what we have, and then what we have, what does it mean? What are the implications? We've looked at it from the angle that God has given. We've looked, identified with the fact that by being a new creation, utterance is native to us. Utterance is native to the new creation. And so we are allowing God's word to open our eyes to see that there must be a reason why utterance seems to be a significant part of the new creation in Christ Jesus. It must mean that according to God's way of looking at things, utterance is the most important aspect of not just of enjoying all that God has provided, but of giving expression to all that we are in Christ. So understanding the fundamentals of utterance is important because it is our life. It's not just what we have, it is how we are meant to live. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to read from verse 1, I'm going to read all the way to verse 9. So just bear with me, because sometimes we lose the context when we just pick out a few verses. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes our brother. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Again, if you're using a good King James, there are some words that are italicized. For instance, where Paul says called to be an apostle, the word called to be is italicized. So he actually says called an apostle, not called to be an apostle. Called an apostle. Okay, as you can see it in this version. And then when he says called to be saints, he actually means called saints. We're not called to be, we're actually called saints. Hallelujah. So some of those words are italicized because they were added. They were not in the original translation. So grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Say with me, grace and peace constantly flows from the Father and from the Lord Jesus to me at all times, irrespective of my actions, where I am, what I'm doing, and how I feel. Grace and peace constantly flows towards me from the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So there is an endless supply of grace and peace from the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ to you and I at all times. He now says, verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf. In other words, I, by revelation, understanding that grace and peace is constantly flowing from the Father and Lord Jesus Christ to you, I am giving God thanks on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Say, grace has been given me by Jesus Christ. Right, it says that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Again, remember that when we looked at the fundamentals, when we started looking at this series, we examined what does the name of Jesus mean, and we summarized that his name means son, or someone who has all the Father has, or who inherits all the Father has. So he says, God is faithful, by whom you and I were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So you and I are in fellowship with the Son. It means all that belongs to the Son is all that belongs to us. Fellowship means to share something in common. It means to have a basis for equality. It means to have a frame of reference. So by becoming sons of God also, the Bible says what we've been called into is fellowship with the Son. The reason why God sees the way he sees Jesus is because you actually are a son of God. And because you are God's son, the fellowship that you have, which you are presently participating in the Spirit, is the fellowship God has called you to in his Son. So here we saw verse 4 and verse 5, and then we also saw verse 7. It says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. What is that grace? That in everything you are enriched by him. It means by reason of your new birth in Christ Jesus, you have been enriched, or you have been given an inheritance. That's what the word enrich means. You have been given an inheritance. So he says, in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance, in all knowledge. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift. Hallelujah. I believe it's Revelation chapter 19, verse 10b, that says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So it says the testimony of Christ is confirmed in you, so that, or to the degree to which you come behind in no gift. What's the testimony of Christ? Testimony of the Son. What's the testimony of the Son? All utterance, all knowledge. Hallelujah. All utterance, all knowledge. What does all utterance, all knowledge point to? You are enriched by him in everything. What does it mean to be enriched? Inheritance. Something you didn't work for, but was bequeathed to you by reason of being a son. So because we are in fellowship with the Son, called by the Father, there is an inheritance that we are participating in presently. There is intelligent participation. There is unconscious participation. God wants you to consciously participate, not unintelligently participate. So to consciously participate means that there is a realm of knowledge that you ought to come into, so that what some people call coincidence can become your everyday experience. Hallelujah. So we have been enriched by him in all knowledge and in all utterance. Our inheritance can be described as all utterance and all knowledge, so that you and I come behind in no gift until the testimony of Christ is confirmed in us. All right, first, the same First Corinthians, let's go to chapter 12. I'm just going to touch on the first few verses, and then where we're really going today is chapter 14. And then we'll start looking at the modus operandi. Glory to God. Amen. All right, are you there? Chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Again, we've already established the fact that the word gifts there is italicized, which means that it was added, it can be removed, it still makes sense. So what it really says is, concerning spirituals, or things that are of and that pertain to the spirit, I would not have you ignorant. In other words, the Corinthian church, after 11 chapters, after I told them in chapter 1 that God has enriched them in all utterance and all knowledge, that they come behind in no gift, they were still ignorant of spiritual things. So that you have it doesn't mean you know it. There is a difference between having it. Having is a function of birth. Knowing is a function of teaching or knowledge. Hallelujah. So he says, I will not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto this dumb by us, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. But here is what I want you to see. He says, I will not have you ignorant, wherefore I give you to understand. So from chapter 12 to chapter 14, Paul emphasizes just one thing. I want you to understand things of and that pertain to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. From chapter 12, all the way to chapter 13 to chapter 14, it was emphasizing just one thing. What did he start off with in chapter 12? Now concerning spirituals, brethren, or things of the spirit, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Wherefore, I give you to understand. So, understanding is communicated primarily by the teaching of the word of God on the same subject, so that people can intelligently participate in something that God has already made available to them. Hallelujah. All right, so, chapter 14 now. Are you following so far? Okay. You know, we usually say things like chapter 13 is a chapter of love. It's not. It's not. Okay. You can single it out, but it's a flow. What does that mean? If you see the end of chapter 13, it says, I want to show you a more excellent way. So after I began to explain to them about spiritual gifts and manifestations, he now says that there are things I want you to understand about spiritual gifts, and I want you to show you the best way to enter into it. He now began to teach about love. In other words, love is the best way to enter into the flow of the Spirit. That's what he was saying. So love is not a separate chapter. Love is the way to enter into what he has been saying. Do you understand? So it looks like a sandwich between. Paul says, I want to show you a more excellent way. I want you to covet and to desire the things of the Spirit. But I want to show you the best way to get into it. If love is the focus, then stepping into those things will be easy for you to. In fact, this chapter 14, look at the first verse. Follow after what? Charity and desire spiritual gifts. But rather that you may what? Prophesy. It is safe to say, therefore, when it says follow after charity, charity is love in expression. Okay? Love, when it becomes active, is called charity. You know, have you ever heard this phrase? Charitable works. You hear charity? Okay, so when love is in expression, it's called charity. Do you understand? Not charity, the name of somebody. Charity. So when you say somebody is doing charitable works, it means love finding expression. So it says, follow after love, or follow the operation or the movement of love. He says, of course, before he says follow after love, he already told you what love will do in chapter 13. So that says follow after love. So what is a believer's primary way of stepping to the Spirit? He said follow after. The implication is this: at any and at every point in time, love inside of you will always have something to do. Love will always prompt. Love will always give a signal. Love will always give direction. So what you do? You follow after love. So he says follow after love and desire what? Spirituals, but rather than you may prophesy. In other words, it's not safe for a believer to start desiring or coveting things of the Spirit when love is absent. Hallelujah. When love is absent. I'm going to say a few things tonight because, again, I want us to grow and become more matured when it comes to giving expressions to the things of the Spirit, and you can know more and yield more. It is not a function of what God will do. It is what you will do based on knowledge. Because there are certain statements here that will show you one very important factor, which a lot of believers are likely to know. The things of the Spirit are majorly, listen carefully, at the disposal of the believer. He begins to tell us what do these things respond to. He spent chapter 12 telling you there are diversities of gifts by the same Spirit, difference of administration, the same Lord, diversities of operation, it is the same God that worketh all in all. Another day we look at that. What was he saying? He now begins to say, all this worketh that one except same Spirit, dividing to every man. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man as to profit without. What he was simply saying was this: as those things are in flow, those things are given to the church, they are given to the body of Christ. He now begins to show you principles that if you want to see a greater operation, which means you have a measure of control over those things. Now, what we've been taught is this: we don't have any control. It's as God wills, not so. Don't switch off yet. It's not blasphemy. Not so. Because instructions are written in these chapters that will show you that more is hanging on you than on God. So, first of all, Paul starts by saying, concerning things of the Spirit, I don't want you to be ignorant. He now says, no man speaking by the Spirit of God. So men decide, listen carefully, when to speak, whether to speak or not. The only difference is this: what spirit are they speaking by? But speaking belongs to man. He can choose what spirit to yield to, what spirit not to yield to, but speaking belongs to him. So what he wants to do is this: yielding, listen carefully, is not your problem. It is what are you yielding to that's the issue. Are you following? So yielding is not your problem. The things of the Spirit are not your problem, because the things of the Spirit, like God, is consistent. They are consistent. They are part of your inheritance, which is given for your benefit. But how do you yield? When do you yield? What do you follow? What do you prioritize? And the instructions are now reaching down. Hallelujah. Okay, because it's something about the mind of man that's very important for you to understand. If by any margin you believe that these things will not operate until God wills it so, you will shut down the flow. Hallelujah. You will shut down the flow. So, we're examining certain principles about the utterance for you to see that it's not just a gift, it's something that's within your prerogative. It's your purview. It's your playground. It's something God handed over to you because you are his son. Okay, the same way the father of the prodigal son handed over the inheritance to the son without controlling how he spent it. It is the same way God handed over those things to you. It just shows you how do you get the best from it. So if somebody gives you a car, they don't come around you monitoring how you use the car. They just tell you what makes the car function or what's the best way to get the best from the car. That's what they do. Once they do that, they hand over the keys to you. The car belongs to you. You drive it at will, whenever you will. You don't call them to ask if you should drive it. They bought it for you. They hand it over. If you have to ask them when to drive the car doesn't belong to you. If you need the permission for what you do at the car all the time, if it doesn't belong to you, it only belongs to you in name. It doesn't belong to you in practice. In practice, it's your car because it stays in your house. You ride at any time you want without taking permission from anyone. So the same thing when it comes to things of the Spirit. So Paul says, follow after love. Then it is safe to desire what? Spirituals. In other words, rather that you want, prophesy. And that's important. But now I'm going to jump. So, bear with me. Jump all the way to verse 18. And then we'll start backtracking this way a little. Are you there? Okay. Okay, let me see. Read from verse 18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words my understanding than by my voice and my teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Did you see that? I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding than by my voice and my teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Notice it says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. So I have learned to abound in tongues, to the degree to which I can boast and say, even over and above every member of your local assembly, I pray in tongues more than you all. It says, but when I come among you, I choose to limit my ministration more in understanding than in tongues, because I aim for only one thing, to teach. Paul is showing the principle of verse 1, follow after love, desire spirituals, but rather you may prophesy. Did you see that? So I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, so it gives a condition. When I am in the church, my attitude and disposition is different, because by my voice, whatever I have said in tongues is meant to teach others. It means inside of tongues, certain things will be said that I can use to instruct those who are members of the church. So he's actually saying, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. As a matter of fact, I can speak 10,000 words in tongues. Say, but when I am in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words of understanding for one singular purpose, that I may teach. Hallelujah. By my voice, I may teach others. It means if my aim is to ensure that men come to a greater knowledge of God, I will have done well. Do you understand? That by my voice, if I look at the next thing he says, verse 20, brethren, say brethren. What does brethren mean? Those that come from the same spiritual womb. Are we from the same spiritual womb? That womb is what? Christ. So he says, brethren, be not children in understanding, albeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. So whatever I just finished saying is trying to bring us to a place of maturity. So chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians is divided into two halves. The first half is the focus of those who are spiritual babes. The second half is those who are spiritually mature. It now says, brethren, when it comes to understanding, I want you to be men. When it comes to malice, I want you to be children. Understanding means spiritual maturity, which is understanding. When it comes to spiritual things, is what Paul is calling maturity. He says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Be yet in the church, I would rather. That phrase, I rather, is very important. I rather means that it's my prerogative. Whether I continue communicating in tongues or I switch over to understanding or something I can use to teach you. Remember verse 1 again. Follow me carefully. I will try my best to be slow. Verse 1 says, follow after love, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. What is prophecy? Inspired utterance in a known language. What is tongues? Inspired utterance in an unknown language. So Paul now says that, I thank my God I actually profusely communicate in tongues more than you all, but in the church I rather means I have chosen, by an exercise of my will, I have decided I will use the same tongues of which I have been speaking profusely. I will convert it to a teaching when I arrive in your midst. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. It means if I'm going to become proficient at ministering to the brethren, to the saints, I must learn how to profusely speak in tongues. Paul is actually saying, if I can speak with tongues more than you all, The reason why you don't cheat is this. When I am doing that, I usually don't do it in public. I don't do it when I come to church. My speaking tongues more than you all is something I do in my private life. So that when I come to the public, I can convert the same to instructions which can be used to edify you through teaching. Do you understand? So his first is, I thank my God, actually when Paul was saying that, what he was saying was this. Because the Corinthian church were known for carnality. And they turned tongues into everything. You understand? They were using it, but they didn't have knowledge about you. So they were using, you likely brethren were greeting themselves, breakfasting, as they were greeting, that's greeting, even in tongues. So Paul was saying that, see, it's not that there are no other people who give themselves. I give myself to tongues. If a Paul gave a natural illustration, and it's more than illustration, it's actually true, it can be measured. He said, I rather than speak 10,000 words in tongues when I'm in your midst, I'll speak another 5 words in understanding so that I can teach, which is my intention is to edify you, to build you up, to teach you. But where do I start from? I thank my God, I speak in tongues. How? More than you all. So I will never arrive at the place where I can minister to other believers in local assembly properly, adequately, and well, if I have not given myself profusely speaking in tongues. That means I must learn in my private life to talk in tongues plenty, profusely, consistently, for lengthy periods of time, if I'm going to get to the place where I will learn to edify or build or teach others. Hallelujah. So he says, I will rather. You know, rather means that it is within my prerogative. It's not God, it is me. I choose to. Why? It is within my purview. It's within my realm of authority. I can choose to speak in tongues. I can choose to convert it to understanding. I am the one that does both. Let me back up a little bit. Verse 16. Quickly, are we there? See what it says. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the Lord of the anointed say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not what? Edified. Did you see that? Is that in your Bible? So it says, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit. What was he talking about? He says, there are people who occupy the room of the unlearned. They are paying rent in that room. The room is on lease. It's not a very good room, but there are some people who are in the church who occupy the room of the unlearned. He says, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit. Number one, when you are blessing with the Spirit, he says you are giving thanks well and is in the Spirit. So bless means to speak well of, to utter excellent things about God concerning whatever situation you're in. It says, when you shall bless in the Spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of what? Of the unlearned, or who doesn't understand the purpose of tongues, how shall he say amen at the giving of thanks? So let's say, for instance, we're praying about an issue. You and I are praying about an issue, and then I said, I'm about to run up and I speak a few words in tongues, and then I'm expecting you to say amen, and then you don't say amen because you are saying, what does that mean? Until you tell me what it means, I will not say amen. You just located yourself that you occupy the room of the unlearned. What does the Bible say? It doesn't say I have to understand what you have said before I give thanks. It says, if I'm not occupying that room, I will simply give thanks, because the Bible says, whenever I bless in the Spirit that way, I have given thanks well. Hallelujah. Let me backtrack a little bit. I said a lot there. Here's what I'm saying. Every single time I'm praying in tongues or speaking in tongues, the Bible says, if it's thanksgiving that's my intention, I'm giving thanks well. It means that out of my mouth, the praise of God has found perfect expression when it comes to tongues. It means beyond the vocabulary of man, I am able to express thanksgiving to God when I'm praying in tongues better than any other language can express it. It now says, if those who are beside you occupying the room of the unlearned, those who are unschooled in the things of the Spirit, they will not say amen. I think somebody was telling a testimony, not testimony, was sharing some testimony. After they finished praying tongues for a while, that the minister that was in charge now said that is the first part. Let's now pray real prayer. What was he calling real prayer? Prayer that belongs to those who occupy the room of the unlearned, who feel their understanding is better than the ways of the Spirit. The Bible says, else, when I shall bless with the Spirit. It says, if you are blessing with the Spirit, remember, you are giving thanks well. Well means perfectly. You are saying the things in a way that no other human language can convey it. Yet someone around you who is occupying a wrong room is not edified. It's not built up. Do you know you can pray over your food in tongues? And you are giving thanks well. Let me say well. Is that not being better than saying that plus Jesus minus devil? That's how we pray. If you don't know what to say about this, if you are still praying, bless this food, oh Lord, for Christ's sake. You need help. You have not left primary school in your mind. Because it's not Christ that will eat the food, it is you. So we don't know why the food you bless for Christ's sake. It means you don't even have any New Testament or understanding of what to do with food. If you want to pray and understand what the Bible teaches, this nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. So receive food with thanksgiving. Bible now says when you bless with the Spirit, you are giving thanks well. So you can pray over your food in tongues. But if the person that's with you, though is a Christian, is occupying the room of the learned, he won't say amen. Why would he say amen? He has chosen that if he doesn't understand what you are saying, he will not say amen. Why are you speaking in tongues? Even you that you are blessing the food in tongues, you don't have to understand all you are saying. You just understand the Bible says, if I speak this way, I'm giving thanks. Hallelujah. Can you see the difference? So one is mature, one is not. One has chosen to occupy a room, the other has chosen to vacate that room. And both of them have a lot to do with the decision they make in their minds. Hallelujah. How shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned say, I vacate the room of the unlearned? Hallelujah. Be schooled in spiritual things. Hallelujah. So it's a progression, really. In fact, let me jump back to verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is what? Unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will what? Sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Verse 16. Else when I shall what? Bless with the spirit. So what is he calling blessed with the spirit? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with understanding also. I will what? Sing with the spirit. I will sing with understanding also. That is what he's calling blessing with the spirit. Glory to God. Are you with me tonight? Alright, so that's what they call him blessing. And notice what is calling blessing is something that you do at will. At will. At will. How do people who occupy the room, how do they think? It is when God moves me. If I don't understand what he said, I will not say amen. If God doesn't move me, I will not pray in the spirit. But what does the Bible say? I will pray in the spirit. I will pray with understanding also. I will what? Sing with the spirit. I will sing. In other words, what you are praying in the spirit, I can sing it with the spirit also. And it's strictly my choice. Hallelujah. So it says, elsewhere that shall bless with the spirit. So, elsewhere that shall bless with the spirit is an expression that follows, I will pray with the spirit, I will pray with the spirit. Let me put it this way. My will releases the things of the spirit into expression. My will. I will. It's not as God wills, it's as I will. It's within my prerogative. It means I'm the one that allows or forbids. Glory to God. So when it says, when he that occupies the room of the unlearned, what is he talking about? Is the same person he's referring to when he says that, don't be children in understanding. Be men. What does he mean by don't be children in understanding? If you're a man in understanding, you understand. You have been enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Now the grace which has been given to you is something you learn to exercise by a function of your will. I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. In other words, it's no longer God that has to move on me. It is that God has handed over to me. So I'm the one that chooses when to pray, how to pray, how long I will pray. It's not God. Glory to God. Let me step back a little bit. Again from verse 1, follow after love, desire spiritual leaves, but rather you will prophesy. The word rather is a language of permission. It means it's something you can choose how to express it. So I have spirituals within me, which is things of the spirit within me. Then he now says, rather means that I can choose how to give expression to it. So he says, follow after love, desire spirituals, but rather. Rather means, among all the things you are desiring, you can decide that the primary way you are going to give expression to those things is through prophecy. Just by your choice. That's what it means. Hallelujah. You will not use the word rather if whatever is teaching is not within your control. If you have no say about the expression, the word rather doesn't make sense. Rather is the language of permission and of preference. It means by an exercise of your will, I can say the things of the Spirit that will flow through me will flow through me by prophecy. So when it says desire, how do I desire? Follow after love. What will be the outcome? You can actually choose to express the same thing that you wanted to say in tongues. You can turn it into prophecy. Hallelujah. Remember, he said follow after love or charity. What does it mean to follow after love? The person that occupies the room of the unlearned needs to be brought out of that room. What do you do? When you are blessing with the Spirit and the person already understands, you can actually help the person by changing over to understanding. How do you do that? He already told you in verse 14, I will pray with the Spirit. Sorry, verse 15. And I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with understanding. What does that mean? The same me that prayed in the Spirit can pray in understanding. Or, as I prayed in the Spirit, I can pray out the understanding of what I said in the Spirit by my choice. Let me say something. If you believe that to interpret is more difficult than to speak, it will remain that way. I actually believe that to speak in tongues is more difficult than to interpret. One gives room for the other. Without tongues, there can be interpretation. Can there be? So one pulls the other. So if tongues is coming out, at the back of it is pulling out interpretation. But if you think they are separate and that to interpret is more difficult, it will remain that way. Not because it is, but because your mind is conditioned that way. If I tell you to come and speak in tongues and interpret, what is the natural thing that will come to your mind? I can't. You just lied. What are you doing? Occupying the room of your learning. Vacate it. Stop paying rent in that room. How do you stop paying rent? Knowledge. I give you to understand. Remember, read verse 15. Verse 15. Let's read it together. One, two, go. Verse 15. I can't hear you. Let's read it in sing song. Yeah. Let's hear. Verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding. Say, I will. Hi. Bayode will. Call your name. Your name is not Bayode. Don't lie. I caught you there. Your name is not Bayode. Say your own name. Now, here's what I said. Notice, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding. Also means in like manner. So in the same way I pray with the Spirit, in the same vein, I will pray with the understanding. As a matter of fact, if my mouth can say whatever the utterance is in unknown, my mouth can say it in the known. That's what he's saying. He is one also. Oh, glory to God. Don't vacate the seat where you're seated with him, where all wisdom and all knowledge reigns. No, don't vacate. And make giving expression to the divine life an uphill task. No, you are up above. Every other thing is down beneath. So operate therefore with his wisdom, and you will find an abundance of utterance to give expression to all that will matter and make life beautiful and succor and comfort everybody you meet on the way. Hallelujah. Now, do you notice that the more you focus on difficulties and challenges of life, the bigger they seem to become? Remember, somebody has taken sides with you against whatever the challenge may be, siding with him in your thought, siding with him in your thoughts, in your speech, siding with him in your disposition, and you will see the bigger, the mightier, the glorious one will rise up big on your inside. A single statement will cause the challenges to vanish, for more real, more persistent, and more evident is the glory of God at work in you than whatever challenge may be on the outside. Hallelujah. Now, what I was going to say was that, do you notice that I don't stop to think before I interpret? Because tongues is a very definite language. It is native to the new creation. It is designed to communicate things that are not known. You see, there are things that are beyond the syllabus of the natural mind. There is a syllabus. Hallelujah. The new creation has a syllabus that it studies from. How do you communicate things in that syllabus? Tongues. Hallelujah. If there's a syllabus and tongues is given to you to communicate it, do you think the same person who gave you the ability to speak in tongues, the ability to interpret will not be? It's there. The question is, the same way you spoke in tongues without hesitating. You know, most of us now, because of practice, we can speak in tongues without hesitating. How many of you still think if you open your mouth, tongues will not come out? Are you still in that place? Let me see your hand if you are still in that place. So we can call 7 elders, light 7 candles, pray for you for 7 days. Oh, yes. That's the kind of prayer that we need to pray. None of you thinks that if I open my mouth to pray in tongues, I wonder if the tongues will come. I want you to get to a place where you will never wonder if interpretation will come. You just know it is there. Why? It came with the tongues that you were speaking. It's not separate. Why must you think interpretation is an uphill task? It's because you've conditioned your mind that way. And the Bible says some people will come and speak in tongues. And then they will interpret. Some people come and sing in tongues. And they will sing interpretation also. And the same vein. It's the same way. It's the same principle. There is no difference. Someone say, Pastor, okay. Are you now saying, so who are those who sing? Who are those who are giving one to sing in? That's all. If I come to your midst and I'm singing in tongues and my voice is not sonorous, so therefore, because my voice is off key, I may not edify you. I will change it to speech instead. I will speak in tongues instead. I won't sing it. I'll say, Brahmatis, you sing, I will speak. You understand? Because if my voice is not so cool, then if I sing you, you may not be edified. What's my aim to edify you? So he says, now, of course, when you are privately on your own, you can sing anyhow. No key is required. Any key is fine. You are singing in the spirit. You are giving thanks well. It's when you come to our midst that you may not be giving thanks well. Okay? Though, when it comes, but it says it is within something you can. It says, I will. Oh, glory. Let me give another picture. You are an administrator of eternal verities. The inheritance that is yours, you are the one that decides, just like a man decides in natural, I have been given $5 billion. I'm one that determines how much of it we go into investment, how much will you spend on a car or houses, or on projects or scholarships or endowments. I'm the one that decides it was given to me. But they don't decide for me. So I use my knowledge to give expression, also speak to administrate or to spend the money. The same thing when it comes to you have been enriched by him in all utterance. What do you do with that utterance? You give expression. How you give expression is solely at your discretion. That's what the Bible teaches. Follow after love, desire spiritual or things of the spirit. Why should you desire? Desire brings it into manifestation. Glory to God. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may want prophesy. It means you even have a choice. You can say, I'm going to prioritize prophecy above every other thing so that I can use what I have to bless others. Do you know I can minister to everybody here tonight by desire? Somebody says, what? I follow after love. I don't have to know what you are going through to accurately, by the gift of the Spirit, bring out what will bless you. Somebody says, what am I following? I'll just follow love. One will love minister to you. I just want you to be blessed. Because I want you blessed, I will use that love to draw out the manifestation of the Spirit. So one of them will start flowing out. One of wisdom will start flowing out. Why? I want you to be blessed. Hallelujah. And through prophecy, I will say things to you that will resonate with everything you're passing through and will show you the way out. Why can I do that? Pastor, it's as the Spirit wills. As the Spirit wills. I know. It's as my Spirit wills. How do you make my Spirit willing? I follow love. Then I can desire. If I follow love, whatever I desire, I'm safe. Because love is the motivation behind everything I'm doing. Do you understand? But it also says, rather. Rather means that everything I want to convey to you to bless you, to prophesy means I will say those things in a language that you can hear. Prophecy is inspired utterance in a known tongue. Hallelujah. If you understand, let me see your hand. You know you are saying you understand now. Now we start exam. An exam with practical. No, because, listen, where we're going, if I point at you, there's no such thing as, you don't have what? That shall not lie in church. The ground and the pillar of truth, you must have. There's no such thing I don't, you have. Every believer has. Why am I teaching? So you can vacate the room of the unlearned. You can stop thinking, when the Spirit of God comes on me, it doesn't need to come on you, it's in you. It didn't go on vacation, it's inside of you. What do? You yield to it. Glory to God. You yield to it. You must become a guru at utterances. It's not negotiable, it's a must. If you're a member of this assembly, you must become a guru in what? Utterances. It's not for some, it's for all. Some people like Pastor T, they like all this. It is not like, it is part of your inheritance. You must be exercised, grounded, established, and settled in it. Hallelujah. You must be. It's not negotiable. It's what belongs to us. Every member of this local assembly must be grounded in tongues and interpretation by force, by fire. It's not negotiable. Whether you sing it, I don't mind. You chant it, I don't mind. You dance it, I don't mind. But you must have it. And you must give expression to it. Do you understand? When you are walking on the road, it should be the easiest thing to teach people. That's where we're going. Because if you understand what I'm teaching, you will never be depressed again. Never be depressed again. You never have a down day. So you just want to be in the flesh. Glory to God. Verse 2. Where are we now? I know we jumped in the middle of this chapter, but we're going to look at different aspects. Verse 2. For he, say he, that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not to men but unto God. For no man one understandeth him. That one understand means no man catches the meaning. But how be it in the spirit? It does what? Speaketh mysteries. So your spirit communicates mysteries with the Father. What your spirit is communicating, the word mystery there is not a reference to what God doesn't understand or what your spirit doesn't understand. It's a reference to what your mind doesn't understand. It's a mystery, not to God, not to your spirit. It's a mystery to you when it comes to your mind. There's more to you than mind. Yes or no? Fine. So when it comes to a mystery is not what is not known. A mystery is what is not known by everyone, but is known by some. So when it comes to tongues, it is not a mystery to Jesus. It's not a mystery to the Holy Ghost. It's not a mystery to your spirit. It's only a mystery to your mind. Which means it's not intellectual or mental in origin. He now says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Notice he can speak it. Why? It is a spirit that is speaking. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto who? God. For no man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh what? Mystery. So he's speaking in the spirit, or he's speaking in the realm above the understanding of men. Verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesies does what? Edifies the church. So what is he saying? He starts by saying, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. But verse 4 now says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. So when I'm speaking in tongues, there's the first direction of it is this. I am talking to God. It is a mystery to my mind. But even though I'm talking to God, it's a mystery to my mind, the same tongues can be used to edify me or to build me up. In other words, it is a language that God designed, not just for me to speak to him, but that when he wants to build me up, he will do the same thing through the same word, language or tongues. Hallelujah. God's plan, therefore, is that every single believer, by yielding themselves to this kind of language, will be built up, strengthened, and established in the things of God, not on an occasional basis, but on a permanent basis. Look at verse 6. I'm sorry, I'm rushing. We'll go into it a bit more detail after. Verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with what? Tongues. Can I come unto you speaking with tongues? Stop. Again, I want us to kick religion out of the window. But God, can I come unto you speaking in tongues? Yes. Somebody say, what does it mean to come to you speaking in tongues? I can just come to you and just start speaking in tongues. Notice this say, if I come unto you and God is making me to speak in tongues to you. No. God is not making me. His spirit is not leading me. I just came unto you speaking in tongues. If I come unto you. So I'm the one who takes them to come unto you speaking in tongues. Notice what he's saying. Look at where it started from. He that speaketh in known tongues speaks not unto men but unto God. For no man understands him. How be it in the spirit speaking what? Mysteries. So what I spoke to God is clear and intelligent in God's realm, but it's not clear and intelligent in man's realm. Do you get that? And that says, he that speaks in known tongue also, verse 4, edifies himself. Notice that both he spoke to God, he spoke to himself before he now comes to you speaking. Do you see the pattern? I spoke to God. I spoke to myself. Then I come unto you. That's the third person. Yes or no? So I now come unto you speaking. Now says, if I come, If I come, something must have happened between the time I was speaking to God and I spoke to myself, and I'm not coming towards you. So I am edified. I have fellowship with God. I have been edified. When I now come to you speaking in tongues, look at what it says. If I come unto you speaking in tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by what? Revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by the word doctrine means teaching. Hallelujah. What is he saying? If I come unto you speaking in tongues, what will I profit you? Follow after charity. Desire spiritual gifts, rather than you prophesy. But if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? To profit you means I'm following after love. Do you understand? If my aim is to profit, it's because I have love in mind. Love is motivating me. So whatever I want to give expression to, I must have profit in mind. That profit must be for you. So if I come to you speaking with tongues, the Bible actually teaches that in the same way I came to profit you by speaking in tongues, I can bring out the hidden profit in what I said in four different dimensions. I can bring out the revelation, the knowledge, or the prophecy, or the doctrine that is hidden in the tongues I spoke when I came to you. In other words, when I come to you, I've left talking to God, I've left talking to myself, I'm not in a public gathering, I'm coming to you speaking in tongues, I am speaking prophecy, revelation, knowledge, in hidden form. Hallelujah. Do you understand? What I'm actually saying in tongues is revelation and knowledge and doctrine, but it is in hidden form. If I want to profit, what do? I unhide it. Pardon the English. You get that? So what Paul was teaching is this. Where do you start from? Tongues. Where should you end up? Profiting the other person. Does tongue contain profiting? Yes. In what form is the profiting in tongues? Eating form. What should I aim to do? When I come unto you means when I want to come and minister to you, I may start out in tongues. I should never stay with tongues alone. I should bring out the hidden profit in the tongues so that you can be edified. Did you see that? So, verse 1 now makes sense. Follow after love, desire spiritual gifts, but that you may prophesy. Since I know prophecy is inspired utterance in a known tongue, it will bless you. In fact, the Bible says prophecy is speaking unto men edification, exhortation, and comfort. That will profit you. So he's saying that every believer should be mindful of one thing. When I come to you, or when I'm moving towards individuals to minister to them, and I'm speaking in tongues, I should never forget that hidden inside the tongues I'm speaking to them is revelation knowledge. Okay? Is prophecy. Okay? Is, go back to that verse 5, please. To verse 6, rather. Revelation knowledge, knowledge of the scriptures, prophecy, or what? Teaching or doctrine. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Very important. He's actually saying tongues can convey all four. If I now therefore step down the tongues and minister one of the four, I have brought profit to you. Let me take it another dimension. If I come to Nosa now, what I may start out with Nosa may be tongues. What I will end up with one of those four. Do you get it? So, the issue is this. If I'm waiting, listen carefully, for me to have revelation or knowledge or prophecy, before I come and minister to you, I'll wait for a long time. Why do we have meetings and then people will say, if you have anything, come up. Why have we noticed that a lot of people don't get up? In fact, the same sort of people that usually get up. Have you noticed? And if you don't get up, you just discovered your room where you have been paying rent since. We are doing our best to get the landlord to evict you by force. We shall do our best in this assembly out of love. That you must be evicted out of that room. So if you always sit down when we have a meeting, you know what the issue? You have just located yourself in understanding you are a child. And this is the understanding, be men. In malice, be children. I think Romans chapter 16, Paul said, I will have you simple concerning evil and wise concerning love. So what he's saying is this, how do you locate the room you are in? Look at the category where you are in. If I come unto you speaking with tongues, how shall I profit you? Why haven't some people been able to minister? They will sit down in their chair and waiting for sudden revelation. Nothing will happen. That happens from time to time occasionally. In fact, that happens as a function of how developed you are. Others will get up. What will they do? They will come on to you speaking with tongues. What will they end up with? Revelation, knowledge, prophecy, and doctrine. Can you see the link? What do we all have? Tongues. What will some people eventually minister? Revelation, knowledge. But we all have tongues. So if you understand that tongues is revelation, knowledge, doctrine, prophecy, in hidden form, what should you do in a believer's meeting? You step out. You come to us with tongues. What will be unfolded as you come forward? Revelation, knowledge. Do you get it? Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, let me say this. The day you decide to step out in one of our meetings to come to us speaking in tongues, you just vacated the room of the Olanit. The room was where you sat. Do you understand what I just said? The room was where you were sitting all this while. When you leave your seat and you step forward, you just consciously vacated the room. And vacating the room is something you can do by an exercise of your will. What did the others have that you don't have? Boldness. What else do they have? Understanding. That I may come to you speaking in tongues, but what is inside the tongue will come out. So tongues is other things in hidden form. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do you understand so far? Very important. Very important. You see, if you put a date, a deadline on what you are expecting from the Father, you may be disappointed, for the workings of your faith will manifest in a different way, more often than not, than you plan for it to be. But if you will stand your ground in faith and say, I believe that this is mine and this is so, and not put a date that will put pressure upon your soul, you will have deliverance for your soul and the manifestation of that which you have trusted and believed for, and you will be glad and your joy shall be full. Hallelujah. Now that's Ilamori Estele Fria Takadish Tegiana Sata. Aku Brustian Safrada Kata. Ekano Kuriani Estele Frada Kiletish Tengesio. Rusteni Aka Atiletiana Anka. Ah, ha, ha, celebrate. You were so sure that the customer will pay. You were so convinced that he will buy. Now you are doubting. Maybe he's no longer interested. Stand your ground. Payment will come. It will be bought. Profit will be made. Hallelujah. Profit will be made. Now, notice in each of those cases, I didn't just bring about the revelation, but in those cases, where do I start from? Tongues. Okay? But what was the tongue hiding? Revelation. So, remember, you are starting from it. It's a means to an end. The end is more important than the means, but you can't have the end without the means. So when you start up from the means, it will lead you to the end. Here's what God now did. Every single believer has the means. So, somebody, what's the means? What's the means? Tongues. So to refuse to start with the means, to speak with tongues, is to refuse to have an end. And the Bible says, surely there's an end. And your expectation shall not be what? Cut off. So we can apply that principle. Okay, so if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? I'm walking love. I have profit in mind. It is tongues I started with. It's not tongues I will end with. There are other things inside of tongues, or that tongues is hiding, that I'm going to minister to you when I come to you. You know the challenge? There's a battle with your mind. What will I say? What if I get there? And then I say, and then, what will I say? Why don't you stand up and come? Leave the room of your landlady. Step out by faith. Your faith will be rewarded. Hallelujah. Tell me my faith. Have you seen those people who give us spiritual songs? Some of us think that somebody is singing the words in their ears. As well as why some of us think. That brother matters. The way the ears just sing for his hearing. I mean, you could sing like, no, it's by faith. They step up by faith. And as you give one line, the other line comes. This is how psalms are also given. In the same way. But if you are too self-conscious, too much of Is it grammatically correct? Is it? Did I get the tenses right? No, grammar or no grammar, spirit is spirit. You may be grammatically wrong, but spiritually right. We're more interested in your spiritual correctness than your grammar. You may mistake words for is. It doesn't matter. It is what you said that really, really matters. Do you understand? Even if you come and say that, as Moses slayed all the enemies of God, so we go, it's okay. It's all right. What we want to tell us is that God has slayed all the enemies. We give up praise. We forget about Moses. Has Abraham killed Goliath? We say, okay, bros. You have not been reading your Bible very well. That's why the issue. So we give you the scripture that says that let the word of Christ abound in all wisdom. We'll just give you that one. Okay, brother, go on. It's about let the word of Christ dwell in you in richly in all wisdom. Okay? What the word of God does is it harms you with the vocabulary to give an expression to utterances. The study of the word, meditation of the word, it harms you with the scriptural vocabulary to give expression to utterances when they come. That's what it does. Hallelujah. See, I can flow in the spirit. Concerning things of the spirit, I am not ignorant. I flow in things of the spirit. I give myself wholly to it. I earnestly covet and I desire the best of the things of the spirit at all times. Hallelujah. Now, again, we will get to a point where I will ask you to come out and minister to us. Or I will ask you to come and you minister to the next person's image that you do. When we come out, when we start with tongues, when we come out, revelation. Now, because you've not been practicing, when revelation is coming to most of us, some of us will be like, no, I cannot be thinking like this. I cannot be thinking that this person doesn't have money. This one is dressed. This one has money. And the person may have no money. In fact, may have walked to church. Fine dress doesn't mean there's money. Why will you doubt? You have not been exercising yourself in it. So, when the thing revelation is coming, you are even quenching it. No. This fine sister. She has paid her house rent. The more you look at her, rent. What's this thing about rent? No. This is her. She has enough. And God is trying to use you to reveal to her that about the issue of the rent, it is the truth. And you are resisting. No. I am the one that has issues with rent. Cannot think. What's the issue? You don't think. You are not allowing yourself. That's why the Bible says by saying, he that speaks in unknown tongue speaks unto men but unto God. For no man understands it. How be it in speech, speaking mysteries. Then he that speaks just edifies himself. Then if I come unto you speaking, so it's a progression. I spoke to God, I spoke to myself, then I come unto you. Can you see the progression? So that's what Paul meant when he said that if I speak 10,000 words in tongues, I won't do it in public, I'll do it in private. So that when I come to you, I will convert it to understanding. Why? By my voice, I might teach others also. Also, I might teach, and it's within my prerogative. I'd rather speak 5 words in understanding than 10,000 words in tongues. I'd rather. It's my choice. And what at the time is, you know what? I'm in church. People are here. They need to be blessed. 85. I will convert what I said in tongues. I will convert it to English. I could have continued speaking in tongues as I was speaking before and just continue. Why did I stop? I can break it down in chunks and give you the message in different ways. What am I doing? I'm walking in love. And I'm the one that chooses. So I've ministered in tongues and interpretation tonight as an example, but I could choose to have not done that. Do you understand? I can choose not to. It's a choice. So when we are having those meetings, it's also a choice. You will. I will. You will. I will pray with the Spirit. I will want pray with understanding. So there is no such thing as I don't have anything. You are lying. 1 Corinthians, I win chapter 4, look at verse 26 and let's round up. You may just come to church next week and then you just say that what we have is a flow. And I'll just come to you and just say, take. And just give me take. Now there's a good child of God, I will go and sit down. I thank my God, I will sit more than you all. Hallelujah. Don't be upset next week, oh. You are looking suspiciously. Those already developed a program you want to go for somewhere. You are not allowed. I have numbered your faces here. If you have said you are in soup. How is them, brethren? When you come together, verse 26, look at where it started from. So verse 26 now is a very, I use the word damning statement for those who have occupied the room of the Almighty for long, because in this one verse, the kind of truth he's trying to communicate are very serious. How is it then, brethren? No matter what, you are brethren, so we are believers. When you come together, so we have come together. Every one of you, you are brethren. We come together. And it's every one of you. Does that not exclude the fact that maybe I'm not led? You are led. Your sitting here is part of the leading. You are brethren. You are seated. We have come together. So he says, when you come together, everyone, say everyone, at a doctrine, at a tongue, at a revelation, at an interpretation, let all things be done unto what? Edifying. Amazing. When you come together, since every one of you has, let me read the wisdom. Since all of you have something, pattern the meeting in such a way that you will give it one after the other in the way to which you will bless everyone. He's not even discussing your having or not having. That one is taken for granted. You will have, because you are brethren and you are gathered together. You have. So you cannot give the excuse, I don't have. Bible says, lie not against the truth, but speaking the truth in love. So you have. Say, I have. The Bible says, I have. And I have what the Bible says, I have. So when you come together, hallelujah. So these kind of meetings, we come together. And Bible says, everyone. Say, everyone. So, in fact, the reason why we should have a believer's on it, because when we want to do everyone, you know what it takes for everyone? When we say everyone, doesn't mean that you come out once and give one, then go and sit down. No. As the moderator, as you give one, I can say, one more. Next. One more. That is, you have not given enough more. So, you know, when we have several hours, from 10 to 5, we have enough time for every one of you. Or like midweek service, when we are all going on by it, so there's no room for, we're not rushing. We have edified ourselves. We have come together. We are brethren. So what you have, you will give. What does that kind of exercise do? It makes you even give what you thought you didn't have that you have. Then you develop boldness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you come together, every one of you, let all things be done unto what? Edifying. Okay. So, we'll stop here tonight. That's why you should have been coming to School of Utterance. You see? If they have been coming during School of Utterance now, you see? The boldness would have been overwhelming. Before we finish talking, you have collected the mic. All right.